Praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. We want to welcome you to the broadcast today. Get your notepad, your pen, and your Bible. We're getting ready to study the Word of God. The Bible says in Acts 17, verse 11, Paul was tested by the Berean, and the Bible called the Bereans noble for doing it. I want you, according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, test this message, test every spirit, test every preacher, test every church, test everything you're hearing in this day and this hour. Let's go into the Word of God and test it by the Holy Ghost and the Holy Canon of Scripture. God bless you.
We love you. We bless you. Father, now as we approach the Word of God, open up the eyes of our understanding that we may behold wonderful things out of your law. Thank you, Lord, as we minister the gospel. Lord God, let us minister also on the airways with effectiveness, anointing, and strength and courage that come only from you. And Father, we love the body of Christ. We love the pulpits of America and especially of the world. And we pray for a revival in the pulpit. We pray that you'll strengthen ministers all around the country, that we'll preach truth and that we'll stand for truth, that we'll live the truth, and that we'll get the bride ready for the coming of the Lord. We give you praise. Give God a hand of praise.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter 4. Begin reading at verse 7. But I just want to share with you some things God placed on my heart. And I want to go back into part 2 of the message I started on last week, but I want to go somewhat a little different direction. And I want to teach from this subject, correct doctrine. Correct doctrine. I've been teaching a series online called Doctrine, and for a subtopic, I use correct doctrine. It's not online yet, but before this week is out, I think my wife will be able to put it online. So if you want to go hear those four messages, you can go online and listen to them. They are going around the country. We are getting tremendous response from people everywhere. And our webpage is just constantly going, the numbers are going up. It's going up all the time. And most of the people are going to either the audio page and listening to the same things we're teaching here. And then the second highest number is they're going to watch live. So they are watching us. Amen. Last month, over nearly 1,100 people went to the website and heard the word. Amen. So that's pretty serious. And you hear the testimony of people, how this word is affecting their lives. It just makes you humble. And I have to preach Tuesday at a local church here in town, and I'm going to introduce the word that I've been preaching here, okay? And then in about another month, I got to preach at another local church here in town who got a hold to this word, and now that pastor is using our study guide, teaching his church the things that we put in the study guide, and now he wants me to come teach it to his people. That's a blessing. So it's catching on everywhere. Amen. Amen. It must be something to it that God would put us on 10 radio stations, 6 states now. It was 5, 6 states, and then 5 countries of the world from this little local assembly. Something going on. And the miracle of it all is we're not on the air asking nobody for money, because he told me don't do it. I don't really even want a credit card on the web page. Our evangelist in Houston, he still insists, let's just put it on there just in case people want to give. And he's trying to convince me, but I don't want to get out there begging. Amen. You're never gonna catch me begging for money. You're never gonna catch me pressuring people for money, because the Lord has spoke to my heart and told me plainly, and I'm going to be addressing it from time to time. How in the world did the church get over into selling the gospel?
Amen. Come on, Dad.
Yeah. It has gone too far. And I had no idea what God was raising me up for and leading me to do, but I realize it now, and when I realized it, you know, I'm not afraid to address it. I remember in Houston, I told the church they had some people coming in there. They was one, they thought we was in there for the people money because they saw all these races of people here, and here this black man up here got influence on all these people. They like, you know, I want to be over the money. So they trying to insinuate that we doing some money. And I found out about it, and the Holy Ghost hit me. I said, we're not taking no more public offerings here. You better know God if you do that. I said, we're not going to take no more public offerings. Anybody want to give, the bucket will be over there. If you don't want to give, keep it in your pocket. Kept on preaching, never missed a heartbeat. God was raising me up for that time. But I've come to realize why he's raised me up and to speak and giving me this platform where all these thousands of people are listening to something this little humble ministry has to say. Amen. And I'm saying to the church world, how did we start selling the gospel? Where did that come from? You search the Bible. It is nowhere in the Bible. And if you really got a word from God, preachers, apostles, clergy, if your word came from heaven, why are you selling it to the people? In Proverbs 23, we read a verse last night. It says, buy the truth and sell it not. You say, why he said buy? Because somebody going to sell anyway. Amen. And the truth is so valuable that if you can only get it by buying it from somebody, buy it. But then he said, don't sell it. Don't sell the truth. That's why we don't sell our study guides. We don't sell our CDs. We went to the post office the other day. I had an armful of packages, CDs and books and, you know, study guides that we were sending out to all these people. And I was so happy that we didn't charge them a dime. Good God Almighty. Amen. And God's provided. Amen. And we're not asking anybody for anything. People just giving it, walking up to us. That's the way it's supposed to be done. God's supposed to touch hearts. Paul didn't charge when he wrote 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Paul didn't get that word from the Lord. This 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians came from heaven. Paul wrote it by the Spirit. He didn't say send this out to the churches, not charge them $20 for it, a copy. That didn't come from God. And I know somebody going to say, well, you know, we use the sales to support the church. And baloney. Jesus ran the money changers out of the church.
Yes, sir, he did.
And he told me that I'm running them out again. All I need is somebody to speak it. And I'm bold enough to speak it. And you know what? I promise you, if most ministries stop the sales in their church, they'll have to go bankrupt. Because they depend on sales more than God. Oh, y'all know I'm getting in some trouble for this? You know my first message? I don't know where I'm going. I'm just flowing. When I first was called to preach, the first message I preached was born in it to live with it. And I was talking about trouble. I'm born in trouble to live with trouble. So I'm not scared of trouble. I was born in trouble. Job said I was born in it to live with it. And this world is full of troubles. So there ain't no way out of it. Since I'm in it, I might as well go on sink. Let me sink for God. Amen. I'm saying that the sales have gone too far. They got ministries now preaching. And thousands of people are writing these ministries saying, why haven't I gotten a harvest off the seed that you claim I was going to, if I sow, I would get? Now they print a book. I'm telling y'all the truth. They print the same ministry, print a book, and the name of the book is 31 Reasons Why You Haven't Received Your Harvest. Then he's going to charge you $30-some for the book. I didn't know I was going to touch on this today, but I'm touching on it. We're still in church. This is a part of church. I can write a book and give it to you for free and tell you why it don't work. That was not the gospel. There's another book, Several Reasons Why the Cross Don't Work. Now they done sold millions upon millions upon millions of books. And people are calling in. I'm telling you, I already got first-hand news. They're calling in and saying, why the cross ain't working for me?
I'll tell you why it ain't working. The cross worked every time. The word worked every time. Their perception of the cross is what ain't working, and I'll tell you that for free. Don't buy the book. It don't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Why are you going to go sell people another book and try to explain why it's not working? Do you need somebody to sell you a book to explain why the word of God don't work? So some of the people are just as naive as the preachers that's doing it, you know? No, the word of God worked every time. The cross worked every time. Preach it right. Teach it right. It works. And I'm telling you, it's a joke. Money in the church has become a joke. When a preacher tell me in a service, God said you sold $10,000, he finna make you a millionaire. I told that preacher, you got the wrong one. God didn't tell me that. If you really believe it, you sold. Don't you want to be a millionaire? Let me get to my message. Y'all pray for me. Let me get to my message. Okay, correct doctrine. Correct doctrine. For a subtopic, a soul with choice. You are a soul with choice. You make choices. And you make those choices out of your soul. The church been taught that we were something else other than a soul. And y'all, you guys know that I teach a lot on the soul here because God unveiled this to me. It's not a new revelation. It's been sitting right there in the Bible ever since the Bible been in the earth. God took and formed man of the dust of the earth, made a body, blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, I don't have to go to college to figure that out. All I got to do is know how to read and believe God. God said the man is a soul. Now, we know according to other scriptures, he's three major parts, spirit, soul, and body. God took three parts and made them one. But he still called the man a soul. That's what man is. Amen? Now, you can believe that doctrine if you like, but that doctrine got more preachers in trouble, got more churches in trouble, and most folks do not understand God's true plan of salvation because the doctrine is wrong. God said you spirit, soul, and body, and he called you a soul. Yeah. Now, write these scriptures down for your study. I give them out all the time, but you just don't know why it's important for me to keep reiterating this. And keep in mind that even though I've taught it here, there are peoples on the airwaves never heard this before. And almost all the major ministries and ministers around the country teach the opposite. But the reason I can stand and proclaim this so boldly, because I got the scriptures behind it. Now, the same people, almost everybody I talk to, every minister, when you sit down and talk to them, they're like, well, I ain't never seen that before. I know, I had never seen it either. I just bought that doctrine that was taught me until God unveiled and opened up my eyes. And I teach it like a madman now. And it don't matter. I'm not trying to get invited to nobody's church. I'm not trying to rob nobody of their people. That's not what I'm in it for. I'm in it to be a voice in the wilderness. Hallelujah. So that false doctrine has messed up more people in the church. And some of the false doctrines that's being taught right now by major ministers in the church came as a result of that false doctrine right there. I'm a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. Saying that the soul is just something you have and this is who you are right here. When the Bible said that the spirit, Proverbs 20 verse 27, check it out good. 20 verse 27 says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. This is the candle of the Lord. Another confirming verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It says, what man is a soul, Genesis 2, verse 7, what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of the man that's in the man, telling you the man is a soul. All over the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, when people got born again, God's word still chose to call people souls. He said 3,000 souls was added to the church. He didn't say 3,000 spirits. He didn't say 3,000 bodies. Souls. Last book of the Bible. It ends talking about souls sitting on the throne. Souls under the altar. God called people a soul. And until you get that right, you'll never understand this holy Bible. Now that's a fact. Hallelujah. And the Bible backs all of this up.
Amen.
You are a soul with choice. Proverbs 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Do you not know that when you go to school, when you go to public school, when you go to college, when you go on a new job and you don't know the job, and somebody got to train you, do you know who they training? They're not training your body. Because if you die, what's your body going to get up and do? Nothing. The body is the house you get around in. It's the house you live in. Okay? They're not training your spirit. Because God designed the spirit in the man to be the agent of God in the man. And God, when he gave you a spirit, the spirit is the knower. He knows. Before you got born again, he knew. He was natural. He was natural spirit. Okay? He wasn't able to overpower Satan enough to give you the influence to do right. But even though Satan was living in us as lost people, your conscience, spirit, conscience, Noah, all of those are the same thing. The Bible backs all of this up. Same thing. Okay? When you was lost, your spirit in you, in your soul, was still trying to say, you're driving too fast. You shouldn't have did that. Don't cuss that person. You ought to say you sorry. Y'all heard that voice? When you were doing wrong and you didn't know God, I know I didn't. I still heard that little still small voice bother me and make me go tell somebody I was sorry. That's the spirit. That's God's agent in you. So now, if he can tell you when you're wrong, it must be mean he already know what's right and wrong. So you're not training him. Y'all follow me? And especially when you get born again, now that spirit is supernatural. Now that spirit is one with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost live in your spirit now. Now he sits. Didn't the Bible say we seated in heavenly places? Who you think seated in heavenly places? You know our dirty mind sometimes can't sit there. It is your spirit. He's seated in heavenly places. He knows God. When God speaks, your spirit can speak and tell you what thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
So he knows, the Bible said we have the mind of Christ.
Yes.
Where is it? It's in the spirit. So when you get wisdom and get knowledge, who is getting that knowledge? Your soul. It is not your spirit. It is not your body. It is your soul. Your soul is what you're training. When I come over here and interact with AJ, our bodies are touching, but when we start talking, you know who that is? Our souls are interacting. You follow me? The spirit in him and the spirit in me, if we get in error, I can be talking to you and my spirit will speak, you told a lie. I'm just trying to describe this thing to you.
Yeah.
You know, and I ain't gonna lie. See, I'm just giving an example now. But I'm just saying our souls are interacting, and if we touch, our bodies are interacting, but it's the soul interacting. And it's the spirit that guides the soul.
Yeah.
Tell the soul, no, you wrong. He ain't gonna choose for the soul. He just sets right there to be God's agent in you. That ain't God.
Yeah.
That's God.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of a man's spirit. Now, popular teaching has taught us that that spirit inside, that conscience, that Noah, he knows God and he know the man. They taught us that's who we are. Yeah, that teaching taught us that's who you are. The Bible don't teach that. Search the scriptures. John 5:39. Search these scriptures, church. That Bible don't teach that. And until you get that right, you can't even understand salvation correctly according to the scriptures. When you go on your job, it's your soul getting that knowledge. When you go to school, your soul is being informed. The mind is a component of the soul. The will, the heart, the emotions, the imagination, the everything. All of that is the soul. Your memory, all of that is in the soul realm. And so when you're getting educated, you're educating your soul. Because you don't have to educate the spirit. He already knows. Can I move on now? Have I labored enough? I hope. Go search the scriptures. Because that's the truth. Now, Satan has schooled most preachers, including myself, for a long time, to tell people I'm feeding your spirit. I'm educating your spirit. I'm strengthening your spirit. Your spirit is the only thing that strengthens you. So if Satan can get that twisted, he got us twisted. And so when you hear somebody say, I'm encouraging your spirit, I'm feeding your spirit, go to the Bible. That is not correct. It's the soul. And God told the preachers, they watch for the people's souls. Why do you think most preachers watch for your spirit? Because Satan twisted us. I'm watching for something that don't need to be watched. And the man's soul over here, I'm watching the spirit. God told me, watch for the... Okay, this is soul, this is spirit. God told all the preachers, watch for the person's soul. Devil got us over here looking at this. And I'm trying to watch this, and this get the way we murder. That's what that teaching did. The soul is just something you have. That's it over there. You're a spirit. You're the spirit. And don't get me wrong now. The soul is natural spirit, but it's not this kind of spirit. Okay? And this is divine now. This is still natural. This is divine. And in fact, here's what we should have done. When they said, I'm a spirit, you should have said, which one?
Okay. I like that.
Because both of them, in the beginning, was both natural spirit. God called this one spirit, candle of the Lord, and he called this one the soul, the person. And he took this and put it inside of the soul to be God's agent. And that soul can't even worship without that spirit. They that worship me must worship me in
spirit
and in that soul can't worship God outside of the spirit in him. Now, if that soul want to be like God, y'all follow me? Most of the church don't understand this operation. If this soul want to be like God, this soul got to follow the spirit. Got to be led by the spirit. And when this soul stay one with the spirit, that soul then becomes spiritual. And if this soul don't follow this agent inside, you are fleshy. Because you over here just functioning in your flesh. That's why the Bible said, they that are after the flesh shall die. Glory to God. Most of the church don't understand that. And until you get that revelation, I'm telling you, Your doctrine messed up. Correct doctrine. Okay. Now, Nisha, do you have James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20 up there? Correct doctrine. A soul with choice. Your soul make the choices. Your body don't make no choices. Your spirit don't make no choices. Your spirit just tell you whether the choice is right or wrong. He's not designed by God to make the choice for you. God didn't design him that way. He's just God's candle in you to point the way. The soul got to choose to go the way. Now that's how you really function, or that's how you should function. All right, correct doctrine. Watch this. Brethren, James wouldn't call you a brother if you're not a brother. This is a saved man. If you backed up to the first chapter, this book was written to save people. This is a saved man he's talking to. Brethren, if any of you do error, get in error. There's a spirit of error in the church. And God, and I know God got other men that he's raised up for this hour. I ain't so naive to think that I'm the only one. I think that's how preachers get in trouble, when you think you're so unique. I am not so unique. I keep myself little, and the more God do, the smaller I go. I'm amazed at how he did all of this stuff. I'm amazed at his marvelous hand. And he always searches the scriptures. He always takes something small and insignificant to do a great thing. Always. He delights in taking the smallest and doing the greatest. Brothers, if any of you do error, there's a spirit of error in the church that I'm dealing with through the grace of God, and that I'm not afraid to call out, and because I ain't trying to make friends with nobody but God. I hope to be friends with everybody. I'm going to be friendly, and I'm going to love everybody, but my motivation is not to try to make friends to get invitations to make money. That's not my motivation. It's not my motivation to count how many members I got, how many churches I got under me. Apostles ask me that all the time. How many churches you got? I don't count them. In fact, they ain't my church. That pastor's over his church. I'm just there to give him apostolic influence. And if you're a real apostle, that's what you're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
If you do error from the truth, then watch this. One, convert him. Convert a brother. Let him know that he which converted a sinner. That brother, if he get in that spirit of error and get away from truth, he's now a sinner. This is not a sinner who never knew God. This was a brother. Okay, he's a sinner. You'll convert a sinner from the error, that spirit of error, false doctrine. That's why I'm talking about correct doctrine.
Lord, we're going to have to cut into the broadcast. We're just about out of time. For more free teaching, go to www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. Amen. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis said, test every spirit, your soul hang in the balance. God bless you. We love you. And remember, someone cares for you. And his name is Jesus.